See this whole fallout today with James Franco?
I kind of saw it, but I don't understand it.
Okay.
What's going on?
I will explain it to you because I've been following this story, believe it or not, since 2018. I think this is a really interesting story because James Franco is such a huge star. And more than a star, he was sort of beloved and like a sex symbol, but like not too much. You know, it wasn't like Brad Pitt's sex symbol. It was, he kind of took the piss out of himself, you know, the way he would like make fun of himself a lot and stuff like that. So in 2018, James Franco was accused of sexually inappropriate conduct with five different women.
Boom.
Yeah. Four of whom were his acting students. And this was all investigated by the LA Times. They're the ones who broke the story. So at the time, Franco went on Colbert and he said, yeah, you know, I read about this on Twitter. It's all bullshit. But, you know, I support people who want to have a voice. If you want to have a voice, you should.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wait a second. These women are accusing you of sexual assault. And your attitude is they deserve a voice? Like, that doesn't really make any sense. Like, what's that about? We now find out that he's basically admitted to all of this stuff.
No.
Yeah. So he settled with two of the women for over $2.2 million each.
Ooh.
Okay. So now he's breaking his silence by sitting down with People Magazine. They have a podcast that airs tomorrow.
Well, in 2018, there were some complaints about me and an article about me. And at that moment, I just thought, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to pause.
Mm-hmm.
Not seem like the right time to.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, he wasn't quiet. He went on Colbert and talked about it.
But after that, he pretty much dug himself a hole and went into it.
And
right,
I
maybe
to listen.
Bad analogy, by the way.
there's a writer, Damon Young, and he talked about, you know, when something like this happens, like the natural human instinct is to just make it stop. You just want to get out in front of it and whatever you have to do, apologize, you know, get it done. But what that doesn't do is allow you to do the work to and to look at what was underneath, like whatever you did, even if it was a gaffe or
he's not going to come
very
out
spiritual
and,
now.
He's yeah, not no, going to come out and say that he's addicted to sex, is he?
Yeah, he is. That's where it's going.
Put something wrong or whatever.
They all do that.
There's probably an iceberg underneath that.
It's
of behavior, right, of patterning, of just being blind.
My dick has a mind of its own.
Yeah. Right. Just say I'm a sex addict and move on.
That isn't gonna just be.
I like the poontang.
So
right.
Poontang from younger underage girls turned me on.
I've just been doing
and they want to bang Green Goblin.
Yeah.
4 years, you know, and
yeah.
I was in recovery before, you know,
for
sex.
He was an alcoholic when he was like a teenager, but now he's trying to say that he had an addictive personality. He had a problem with alcohol when he was younger, but now that he's older, the addiction has kind of moved towards the sexual nature.
Substance abuse. And there were some issues that I had to deal with that were also related to addiction. And so I've really used my recovery background to kind of start examining this and changing
who
I was.
Oh, really? So when you sexually abuse these women, you are what, like just working out some of your demons? Anyway, so he admits to having sex with students. And then he admits to cheating on every girlfriend he's ever had. Listen to this part.
Attention from women, success with women also became a huge source of validation for me. The problem with that is, like, I'm sure you can guess, like any sort of drug or anything, like there's never enough. You know, it's sort of always I talk about,
I'm
like
a sex addict.
If then.
We get it.
Do you know
how
much poontang is out there? Do you have any idea? And you know I'm a star.
If I get this.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to get all of it, but he's trying to tell us that it's because he has a problem.
Like, well,
not because he's a guy.
Well, if I get
that. And famous.
I'm famous. I have money. I was the Green Goblin, damn it.
Be happy. And it was never ending. And it was.
And I'm a hell of an actor. Let's remember that. He is a great actor.
Sadly,
he's a very good actor. He's a good looking guy.
You know, it's. Oh, if I'm with that like, this is all subconscious, but like, if I'm with that person,
mm-hmm.
I'll be happy.
I just hate guys. Like, just, you know, own it. Enough. Own
I'm
it.
Just trying to fill that hole, and it never gets filled. So
actually, it does.
At around the same time, I hit the wall with work. My
that was a bad analogy.
Sister-in-law Iris Torres given me a book on sex and love addiction.
Oh, so he got a book now? Can,
yeah, the book is what helped. He didn't know he was a sex addict
for a long time, right? But
so you read this book.
His sister-in-law.
I got sober really young. So like, I could identify with a lot,
because he was getting the wrong books before this point.
In you know, the alcohol
exactly.
literature, but like when I read this book,
he was reading Playboy.
It was like,
and they said, stop that. Read this book.
Right. This book is more better. And he went, no. No, get past the first chapter. You'll like it. Trust me.
And up until that point,
he was reading Where's Waldo.
As it is, like, I had inklings like, okay, maybe this is an issue.
It's for kids.
My parents.
I don't believe James Franco has read anything in his life. I don't think he even reads his scripts.
No, he's read Everybody Poops.
I don't believe he's read any scripts either. Because have you seen all the movies he's done lately? Like, This Is the End. You couldn't have read that script.
Their whole lives. Yeah. So, like, I respected marriage. And like
the Kim Jong-un in movie, he couldn't have read that.
Been a part of me.
Oh, that was awful.
Even all through it, even at my craziest, where it was like, well, I want to.
The Room he read, because he was great in that. He was awesome in that movie.
Yeah, he was awesome
married.
In that movie.
I want to be in a
Read the Room.
Relationship. I didn't know how.
That's what every sex addict says. I really wanted a relationship. I just went about it in the wrong way by banging everything that moved.
Is he blaming porn at all?
I was like, oh.
Not yet.
That's next.
This is an issue that I'm not going to solve on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of being like, I'm an egomaniac and I'm a jerk.
Poontang is a powerful drug.
It's such a powerful drug.
And
I got hooked on it for 20 more years.
Yeah.
And the insidious part of that is that I stayed sober from alcohol all that time.
What's one thing got to do with the other? One's a real addiction. The other's bullshit.
You know, sponsor other people. And so in my head, it was like, oh. I'm sober.
Listen to how like tragic he sounds. It's such
life.
Drama.
Does this help him or hurt him?
On the side, I'm acting out now in all these other ways.
Oh, I'll explain to you why he's doing this.
Okay.
Okay, so let me explain to you. So he admits to having sex with students. He admits to cheating on every girlfriend he's ever had. He also says, quote, over the course of my teaching, remember he was an acting teacher, I did sleep with students and that was wrong. But like I said, it's not why I started the school. So he wants you to know, like, he didn't start the acting school thinking like, I'm gonna bang a bunch of like young nobodies and this will be awesome, whereas the women were like, no, he made it seem like if I sleep with him, he's gonna give me opportunities and help my career. So it was like a quid pro quo, which is why he lost the lawsuits. You know, now all the encounters were consensual. He didn't rape anybody per se. You know, he did hold the power in that relationship. So when you're James Franco and you're saying to a young, hopeful acting student who's 19, you can help her career. Listen, he's not Harvey Weinstein. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's hot. Like, women would bang him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people are like, huh, why on earth is he suddenly coming forward? Oh, I see. In the interview, he gets to why he's really sitting down and why he's really telling us all about this. He's asked about Seth Rogen. Now, I don't know if you know, but when this whole thing went down, Seth Rogen came out about a year or so after the accusations and said he's done with James Franco. He does not condone anything he's done. He does not condone the behavior. He's no longer going to work with him. Their relationship is over. Which was a really big blow to James Franco's career, because everything he did because of Seth Rogen.
Right.
Well, so now you see in Hollywood, James Franco is struggling to get work. He's struggling to get attention of producers. And what's happening to Seth Rogen? Seth Rogen is becoming one of the biggest producers of television and film. He is the go-to guy. He is the star. James Franco wants back in with Seth Rogen. That's what all this is about. So in this interview, he was asked about Seth Rogen. He says this. Rogan was asked about me, and I just want to say I absolutely love Seth Rogan. I love Seth Rogan. I worked with him for 20 years. We didn't have one fight for 20 years. Not one fight.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I just don't give a shit. I'm just saying he deserves a beat down.
He was my absolute closest work friend.
Why are you ruining my life? What did I ever do to you?
We just gelled. So that's what this whole thing is about. This is a mea culpa. He could have come forward at any time over the since 2018 and said he was sorry for doing this to these women. He was sorry for all of this. He's doing it now because from 2018 to now, he sees that his career is tanking. No one wants to work with him anymore. He's persona non grata. You know, he's poison. He needs to get back in with Rogan. And that's what he's trying to do right now. This is what this is all about, in my opinion.